job of saving three bucks. We pay your bed all sticking this chair. Told they can't make it for time. But you opened the door for them. Also, we bless the missionary. That this all great work that you got mentioned and give that training and the finance and things they need on the field. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and that salvation that you've given us. It's such a blessing. And we just pray, Father, for all the church. We know you might bless all your church and give us strength to go through the night. We pray you'll save our loved ones inside of us, our Savior, and bless the one that she goes for tests on, that it'll go well. And we just pray for, we keep on going here. Just guide us, direct us through this night. Every day of our life, we might walk here, hold and be recognized that we are children of God. Forgive us so many sins we feel daily. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, everybody. Do continue to pray for one another. We all have needs, and some more than others. So please do pray for each other. I know you do, but do it often. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we started our first point last week. We didn't get very far, but we did get it started. He says in verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Listen, "having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the disposition of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him." And verse 11, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things at the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ. So we see here that if we just read on, we will work into chapter 2. We've already been to chapter 1 earlier. If we read on this part and read on in chapter 2, it's all about grace. Grace, 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 grace. Everything's about grace. Everything's about God's grace. Mankind has changed the grace of God into the will of man. So, in today's society, the will of man fits everything, and the grace of God is discounted as nothing. And this is the reason people get angry when you talk about the grace of God. It's because they've never heard these things. I've had people to tell me, and listen to some of my preaching, I've never heard these things. I've never heard this taught like this. Well, sure you haven't. It's because very few people teach these things anymore. People have gotten into heresy, and they no longer teach about God, the saving grace of God. They no longer talk about the election of God. They no longer talk about God doing his will and his own pleasure, and we're simply the recipients of that grace and mercy. We don't hear it anymore. And the reason we don't hear it anymore, because people don't want to hear it anymore. They're insulted by it. Why? Well, because it goes against humanism. It goes against the human will. Folks, the human will never change. The human will never change. Preachers stand in the pulpit and they talk about, well, God can't change your will. If God can't change your will, then your will never change. We went over last week and looked at Jeremiah 13:23. I'm not going over there. In fact, we're going to Romans 8 right now. But we went over there to find out that Man can no longer, can no more change their own will to become a Christian than an Ethiopian can change his skin color or a leper change their spots. If that's true, and it is because God said it was, if that's true, well then, how can man change his will? Romans 3 tells us point blank that man will never seek God. No, not one of us.
Amen.
Man will never choose to come to Christ. No, not one of us. So therefore, we have to be brought to Christ. We have to be delivered. Paul talks about in Colossians 1 about transferring us, to bring us over. The Holy Spirit brings us to Christ. Over in John chapter 6, God says he draws us. If you look the word draws up, it means drags us. So, not against our will, not against kicking and screaming, because God gives us the will, according to Philippians 4, I think it is, somewhere in there, that God gives us the will to come to him and to serve him. Now, let's go to Romans. So we look under this as the freedom of man's will is our first point of many. We're going to be on this for a long time. Under the topic or subject of freedom of man's will, people must understand that our freedom of will only condemns us. Look at Romans 8 verse 5. Where it says that sinners are born at enmity with God. Think about that. It says in verse 5, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Think about that. Underline that and point that out to yourself. Remember that when you read this. That man's will is only that they do the things that they mind after the flesh. They don't do spiritual things, nor can they. He goes on to say, but they that are after the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So while people that are lost can only do the things of the flesh and will never desire to do anything spiritual, and only those that are saved can do spiritual things. Amen. They don't always do it, do they? Sometimes we get off track, don't we? Sometimes we derail. Sometimes it just don't go the way it ought to for us. But that doesn't mean that we can't do them. Because we can. We can walk after the Spirit.
Amen.
That is, as we're led by the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. Let me turn this page. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, you're carnal minded until you're saved by God's grace, until you're saved by the Holy Spirit, until you're saved through the blood of Jesus, until you're saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're carnally minded. You can only do the things of cardinals. And that is death. And it goes on to say to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can't be spiritually minded if you're not saved by the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, cleansed by the blood of Jesus,
amen,
forgiven of God of all your sins, and the only way you come to Christ and come to that knowledge is if the Holy Spirit quickens you,
amen,
makes you alive. Ephesians 2:1. Because, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now notice that the carnal mind, that is everybody that's lost, okay? That's not some people. They're not some people with carnal minds and others with other minds. Every soul that's lost is carnally minded. Now, Paul went as far to say at the church of Corinth when he wrote to them, he went on to say to that church that he was going to preach only milk
because the Christians in the church didn't have any spiritual ability about them. They only thought cardinal. They weren't cardinal. They only thought cardinal. They haven't grew.
Cardinal man is at enmity against God. That's what goes on to verse 8. It says, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. Think about that. Give that some thought. Those that are lost, those that are carnally minded, those that haven't been led by the Spirit of God to be saved, those that haven't been given the glorious gift of faith to be saved, those are carnally minded, and nothing they do can please God. Think about that. These people are telling these other people out there to just make a choice, to just make a decision. It's your choice. God's on one shoulder, Satan's on the other shoulder. They're debating back and forth, and you got to decide which way you want to go. I mean, where in the scriptures is such, that goes against everything in the Word of God, doesn't it? And then for them to say, well, God can't change your will, that too goes against the Word of God. Amen. It's all lies. It's smoke and mirrors. It's nothing but like a Ponzi scheme. You put things out, if you get nothing back, nobody gets anything out of it. So the Greek word for enmity here, when it says the cardinal mind is enmity with God, against God, verse 7, the word enmity means hostile or hate. So the cardinal mind, that is the mind of the lost, is at hate to God. They hate God. They hate him so much they won't listen to his word. They hate him so much they won't believe on Jesus. They hate him so much they say that baptism of waters will cleanse your blood like Jesus. They hate him so much that he can't do anything for you. You have to do it for yourself. That's how much they hate him. They hate him so much they create doctrine that takes God out of everything. Amen. So that the creature can be worshipped over the Creator. God said in Romans 9 that he's the potter. He's the potter. I'm not the potter. You're not the potter. These pastors and other churches are not the potter. We're the clay. And God, what's God say about the clay? The potter molds, makes the clay as he chooses. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. So if the potter chooses to make a vessel unto honor, he can. If he chooses to make one unto dishonor, he can. Amen. But see, they tell you that God doesn't love anybody if he doesn't make everybody salvation available to everybody. Where's that in the scripture? They just go on making these things up. They don't even exist in the scriptures. Not one time in the Word of God does God tell a person to choose to be Christ, choose to be saved. Not one time in the entire Word of God does God tell people it's their decision, their choice. Not one time in the Word of God, not once, does God tell people they have to work for their salvation. Not one time, not once, not even one little bitty time in the entire Word of God does God even hint that Jesus Christ didn't do enough for us to be saved. Amen. And keep us saved. Not one time, not even once, did God ever tell anybody that they can be lost after they're saved. It's not even hinted at. They take everything out of context, they make it believe what they want it to believe, and they preach that mess. And what do they do in the meantime? Remember what God tells us? Always remember these words.
God tells us that we cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
We cannot serve God and man. We cannot serve the doctrine of God and the doctrine of God. We cannot the doctrine of man. God. We cannot serve God and the doctrine of man. If people's going to think like a man, they're going to live in a lost state like a man. Because one will cause you to hate the other. So what do they do? They hate the election of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hate it. What else do they hate? They hate that we're saved in Jesus. Can you believe that? They literally hate the fact that Jesus Christ saves sinners. They hate the fact that God saves sinners. They hate the fact that God controls us. They hate the fact that God does anything for us. Because we're doing it for poor God because he can't do it. Is that what the Bible just told us? Is that what we just read in the scriptures? That's hogwash. It's nonsense. Enmity means they hate God or they are hostile to him. Meaning our human nature is the reason people hate God. The very reason they crucified Jesus Christ is because they hate God. The very reason that they killed his apostles is because they hate God. The very reason they killed Christians throughout history is the reason they hate God. The very reason they're killing Christians today is because they hate God. The very reason they won't espouse anything scriptural except what benefits them in that sin pit called Washington, D.C. is because they hate God. And speaking about Christians being crucified today, they are. Christians are killed today, this very day, in other countries. Sometimes here in America. Why do you think they shoot up a church? They want to kill Christians. Pray for Brother Raul and his team there. They're going to Ukraine. God bless them. So that's what enmity means. It means they hate. And that's everybody that's lost. It's not some of them, folks. It's every one of them. Satan has them blinded. Think about that. Satan has them blinded. If you're blinded, you cannot see, can you?
Amen.
I know this has probably been beat to death over the centuries and the decades that you've been Christians. But dead people don't talk. Dead people don't make decisions. Dead people don't repent. Dead people don't study. They don't learn.
Amen.
Dead people don't do anything for God if they're not in their bodies up doing it for them. They may be in heaven worshiping the Lord, or they may be in hell waiting for their judgment. But they're in that grave, they're dead. They're gone. They're not there. They're no longer there. I have no idea where my glasses just went. Oh well, here we go. We're easy. That's the reason I keep a prayer. Okay, so let's go on to our last subpoint of that point to get into our second point. How can it be said that man will ever desire God? How can it be said that anyone will ever desire Jesus?
How can it be said that anyone will ever desire to be a Christian? Where is it found that any person will choose Christ by a change of their own will? When God says, we can't do that. There's none, go to Romans 3 and read it, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that does anything good for God. There's none. N-O-N-E, none, 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 none. So let's go to our second sub-point to the first point. Our will to accept Jesus Christ, God, or Christianity is given to us by God, not of our own. It is God that gives us the will to do anything for Him. It is God that gives us the will to come to Christ, and the Holy Spirit that brings us to Jesus. We are quickened and delivered by the Holy Spirit to the Savior Himself, to believe on the Savior as our Savior. W.E. Best wrote these words, and I'm studying his book on this. And some of this comes from him, but most of it comes from other writers. But W.E. Best, who I love, he's not altogether what we are, but he's pretty close. He wrote these words, absolute freedom of the will cannot belong only to God, nor restrains God's will, absolute freedom of the will can only belong to God. I'm sorry, I misread that. Absolute freedom of the will can only belong to God, nor restrains God's will, because He is His own law. I'm not going to stop that, but that's not all of it. See, I want you to understand this point, that absolute freedom of will is only God's. It's not our absolute freedom of will. We have no absolute freedom of will. We do what our nature tells us as lost people. And what does our nature tell us as lost people? To hate God. To be in enmity with God. That God don't understand, that God don't know, that God can't do. Because God won't do this and God won't do that. So we got to do it all for Him. So, they're wrong. So absolute freedom of will can only belong to God. No law restrains God's will because He is His own law. Since God is sovereign, no power can overcome His will. Think about that. God is sovereign. Therefore, only His will is accomplished. In anything. You know, it's God's will that Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit. Mm-hmm. God didn't all of a sudden look down on them and say, oh my, what have you done? Oh, you donated cardinal people on my earth. What have you done? No. God knew before He created them they were going to sin. He knew they were going to eat the forbidden fruit. God had already prepared a flock, a fold. God had already prepared a Savior. God had already prepared a Savior in Jesus Christ, His own Son. God knows everything. People mock that. It's like they mock His salvation. They mock Him that He can know everything. God is omniscient, which means He knows everything. Nothing He doesn't know. So anyway, going back to W.E. Best, I'll go back to, since God is sovereign, no power can overcome his will. He is omnipotent. That means all powerful. He worketh all things at the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. He goes on to say, God's will is irresistible, fixed, and everlasting. He goes on to say, for who hath resisted his will? Romans 9:19. Who hath resisted the will of God? That's what he said. That's what the scripture says. And then he goes on to Malachi 3:6, where he says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead, and it is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. With God, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1:17. God will not be changed for the better, because he cannot be better. It cannot be changed for the worse, because God cannot be less than what he is, which is already perfect. Think about that. See, that's what people fail to see, is the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, the all-holiness of God, and everything else that God is. God is eternal. He was eternal before the foundation of the world. God already knew everything, omnipotence, omniscience, everything right there before the creation of the world. He created the world already knowing everything that's going to be.
Amen.
He already created the world knowing that Jesus is going to die for us sinners. He already created the world knowing that man would hate him. He already created the world to be what he wanted to be. This is the reason every saved sinner that's saved in time brings glory to God. He saved them. They're his children. God doesn't owe anybody anything. When someone says something very stupid like, all I want from God is for him to give me what I deserve, he will.
Amen.
Just wait. He will. It's coming. And it's hot. It's terrible. There's gnashing of teeth. There's fire. There's burning. You're going to have a body that will not burn up. And all you're going to do for eternity is burn, 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 burn. Think about it. When the rich man died and went to hell, he didn't go to the actual fire itself. He's in the hot part. And he says, you know, in this flame, I am tormented. But one of these days, he will be raised up to stand before Jesus, and he will be sent his place in the hot parts of hell. It only gets worse, folks.
Amen.
So W.E. Best hit the nail on the head exactly on the center of the head of the nail. Absolute freedom of the will can only belong to God. Whatever God chooses. It's not about our choice. Never has been. It wasn't my choice to be saved. It wasn't my choice to marry my first wife and to be a part of the Country Baptist Church for 22 years, come here and be your pastor for 18 years so far. That wasn't my choice. I'm here because God put me here. I don't hate being here. I love being here. You're my church, the one that the Lord gave me overseer of. But it's not my will. I'm not going to lead by my will, just as I didn't come by my will. Everything is God's will. He doesn't have to explain anything to me. He owes me no explanations. All I can do is sit back and thank God for everything he's done. Go to Romans 3, if you will. I'm going to try to get this a little bit in before we run out of time the next few minutes. I'm trying to cover more area because this is going to be a long study, folks. I'm telling you, this is going to be long. So while W.E. Best hit the nail exactly on the center of the head, saying that absolute freedom of the will can only belong to God, there are so many points we could cover in this one quarter long. However, we can only cover a couple of points. First, the salvation of the lost sinner is by God's hand according to God's will and not the sinner's. Man cannot change what he is by nature. He don't want to. Let's go to Romans 3. I mentioned it. Let's go over there. Romans chapter 3. Let's see how much will we have to change, okay? It says in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Speaking to Jews, speaking of the Gentiles. He says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We're all in the same boat. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. One person once told me, well, at least all Jews are going to be saved. I said, where do you get that? Amen. I said, they're not going to be saved. They don't go through Christ. So, that both Jews and Gentiles, they are under sin. As it is written, that there's none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous? None. Not one of them. There's none that understandeth, not one. Nobody. There's none that seeketh after God, none. Not a one. Who? Jews or Gentiles? Neither one. Nobody seeks after God, none. He goes on, verse 12 says, they are all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not even one of them. How in the world are they going to make a decision for Christ? How are they going to change their beastly nature to be a godly nature? How are they going to change their thinking of hating God and being enmity with God and come to Christ? It doesn't make sense, does it? Read the Bible. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What's good? What is good in a person? Nothing. Nothing. They're totally depraved. Don't tell me about decisions and choices and coming to Christ and coming to God and God accepting us on the fact that we want to come to Him because He can't do anything. Don't start with that trash. God just answered every bit of that right here in this passage of Scripture. And it's to both Jews and Gentiles the same. Not one of them wants Christ. Not one of them wants God. Even these houses that are filled with what they call churches and their pastors and their pulpits, and they stand there and they preach these lies for messages, telling people that they can change. But they can't. Telling them that they can do good, even good enough to get to heaven. And they can't. God just pointed that out. This is not a rare scripture. It is a top line scripture in the Word of God that describes man to attain. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, it does not matter. I might stop right there. I hate to. We almost got done. Well, my third sub-point soon. But anyway, it's remarkable, isn't it? When you start putting together the Word of God as it belongs, as it's right, as everything in it goes along with the Scriptures, what's it do? It takes man out of the picture and puts God in the picture. I can't even save a soul. I can't take credit for any person that's ever been saved under my ministry. Whether I know about it or don't know about it, I can't take a bit of credit for it. I've done nothing. So, well, you preached God's message. I preached God's message. God's message goes into the world and accomplishes everything God wants it to, right? No credit's due me. No credit's due any man. Except Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, that we might be justified, that we might be righteous, that our sins might be cleansed, and we might become the children of God, because God sent him here to die for you and to die for me on that cross. Amen. Let's all stand. Sang one verse of Amazing Grace.